Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Brad Spielberger, Pro Football Focus.
We don't have any Vandy jokes this week.
I have one. I have a question. Okay. I have a proposition for you, Brad. Are you ready? Vandy-centric proposition. You could sit and have coffee or a beer. I don't know if you drink or not. Either way, coffee or a beer with one of these two Vandy gentlemen. You can sit and you could talk to Will Perdue about playing with Jordan, or you could talk to Brant Snedeker about playing with Tiger. Which do you choose?
That's a great question. Obviously, I drink beer because I watch Vanderbilt football.
You need harder stuff than beer, Brad. I got a couple whiskeys to suggest.
Well, I got to go with Will Perdue, of course, because I'm from Chicago. So, you know, meeting the GOAT would be very cool.
Okay, there you go. I put some thought into that this morning.
Good. I like that.
Okay.
Speaking of GOATs, let me jump in for just a second and ask about the worst, the exact opposite end of that spectrum. Remember a week ago, we had a very lively conversation about Ben Roethlisberger being arguably the worst starting quarterback in the NFL. What did he do right this week, Brad?
Yeah, Twitter loved that. The Steelers fans loved that. He, to his credit, he put the ball to his playmakers in space. He had a season high. 70% of his yards came after the catch, but I'm not gonna denigrate him because the ball to Deontay Johnson should have been 7 points, and that was a clear drop and a great throw. You know, he made a lot of smart decisions. He had only one what we call turnover-worthy play, so he took care of the football and just got it to his good playmakers in space. You cannot hold that against him at all.
Brad, how would you grade Chase Claypool right now?
He's interesting. I think you can tell he's dealing with this nagging injury. I know he was listed as he wouldn't have practiced yesterday if there was a practice. I think his role is so unique in football. He's one of the few guys in the NFL where he's your team's deep threat a lot of time, and he's also your jet motion, your jet sweep guy that, you know, does a lot of stuff behind the line of scrimmage too, only for a second-year player that was a tight end in college and so on and so forth. So I think there have been mistakes, but I think there was a lot on his plate, especially with the loss of Juju Smith-Schuster, and I still think he's a very, very good young player.
Text us, Edgar Snyder & Associates fan. Text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Brad Spielberger, Pro Football Focus. I don't know if you have the quantification to this or just your eyes telling you, but people clamor and they want, and we're a few of them in this room, more no huddle from the Pittsburgh Steelers. That doesn't mean going quick, just Ben not going into a huddle. Are they much more effective from the no huddle?
100%. I'm actually glad you brought that up. I love it, especially against a team like Baltimore with Don Martindale, their defensive coordinator, who obviously is infamous for dialing up all sorts of exotic pressures and showing a lot of different things pre-snap and post-snap with opposing quarterback. And I think as defenses are getting more creative and doing more things to confuse quarterbacks, one of the great ways to combat it is just to not give them time. Don't let them swap out personnel also, because a lot of teams as well, like the Patriots last night, they'll play 15 defensive linemen in a game if you let them. So running the hurry up or a no huddle offense, I think more teams should be doing it, and I loved it from Pittsburgh last week.
I was impressed as well, Brad. I don't know if you noticed this or not. I think 5 of the last 7 no huddle plays actually ended up being handoffs to Najee Harris. Have you seen, was it just what was being presented by Baltimore's defense, or have you seen an inclination from Ben this year that even when in no huddle, which would normally be stand back there, 5 wide, empty set, and chuck it, that he's willing to turn around and hand it off more?
Yeah, you know, I think it kind of goes hand-in-hand with their usage of play action, too. They kind of got, you know, it was held against them. They didn't use it a lot last year. Against Baltimore, they used it their second highest rate of the entire season. Almost 30% of plays were play action. And Benner was extremely effective, 7 of 9 for 130 yards and a touchdown. So I think as that was working, they then realized the run was a more credible threat, and all these things were kind of working in tandem. But yeah, you know, I think Ben is also more comfortable with what he's good at, what his limitations are, and he's recognizing that let other teams make mistakes. You know, Lamar Jackson looks pretty bad in that game. Let your defense, which was dominant, continue to be dominant, and just don't lose the football game.
Right. We've talked about the Steelers' offensive line and their, well, and their struggles very often when we've had you on, but and so I'm going a little bit deep here, but they had so many injuries at guard that all of a sudden this guy, John LeGlue, comes out of nowhere and actually played pretty well. Did you have a grade on him, especially in comparison to some of the other offensive linemen that the Steelers have had to use this year?
Yeah, LeGlue had an 80 grade in the game, so he did come in and play very well. I thought it was a good game for the entire line, really. You know, Dan Moore Jr., I thought, held up very well in pass protection. I know he allowed zero pressures, as did LeGlue, I'm looking at now. The only starter that did allow pressure all game was Chuck DeCorafor, and still, only two pressures against the Baltimore Ravens is not bad at all. The entire line graded well in pass protection, and I think that did show up on film as I'm looking at it now.
Brad Spielberger joins us, Pro Football Focus. Why don't you follow us? We're on Twitter, 937TheFan, driven by Jim Shorkey, Kia, Wexford, North Huntington, Uniontown, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Visit ShorkeyKia.com. Quick turnaround Sunday into Thursday night. What are some of the things that we can look for from both teams whenever you have to essentially go to a game on one practice?
It is really tough generally for the road team. You know, if you're a road underdog on a Thursday night, it is one of the still tougher, you know, kind of situations to play in. It is very difficult. But I do think Minnesota could be down both Dalvin Cook and Adam Thielen now, wide receiver, and they have no depth at their playmaker position. So, you know, it could just be the Justin Jefferson show with some Alexander Mattison mixed in, but not a strong offensive line. So another game where Cam Hayward and T.J. Watt could absolutely take over. They have some injuries along the offensive line, and their young, you know, first-round pick left tackle Christian Darrisaw did not play last week, and their backup got blown up. So I think it's a game where, yes, it is tough, and the numbers do say it's going to be a tough battle for Pittsburgh. But I think the injuries are in their favor, and I think the matchup, frankly, is in their favor.
Brad, is Kirk Cousins good or not? I watch him a lot, and every week I find myself having a different evaluation.
I'll tell you this. I think he is an underrated potential option for Pittsburgh next year if they don't fall in love with the draft class and if they don't, you know, like the options of Mariota or whoever is available as a true free agent. I think if Minnesota does want to move on, that Kirk Cousins is an interesting name to watch in Pittsburgh. Look, he is not going to light the world on fire and take over games, put you on his back, and win you games. But inside of a solid system with good playmakers, which you would have in Pittsburgh, he is a very competent quarterback. He's very accurate. He gets the ball to his playmakers in space and lets them do the work. And as I was saying, that is what Ben has now finally been doing, and it's been incredibly successful. So it'll be a good test definitely on Thursday, because what he is known for being bad at is when there's interior pressure and when the pocket collapses from guys like Cam Hayward, that's when he's at his worst. He's pretty good stepping up when an edge rusher gets to him. He can step up in the pocket and still make plays, but when the interior collapses, he turns into a pumpkin. So it's going to be a great test for him on Thursday to see, is this a guy that, you know, maybe Pittsburgh or someone else will want this offseason?
You know, Brad, I don't know how much of it was Lamar Jackson indecision when he was looking to throw the ball, but the Steelers' coverage appeared to be pretty good because he held on to the ball, and I guess maybe he tends to do that. But Akello Witherspoon, I mean, this was a guy that, you know, we remembered him chasing Henry Ruggs in the Raiders game on that deep ball, and then he kind of disappeared, and then all of a sudden he plays, what, 92% of the snaps and did really well. Where did he come from?
Yeah, that was the whole trade from Seattle, and everything was very strange there, and he ends up not playing at all, even though you had the kind of injuries and turnover at cornerback. But we had him, you know, grading out pretty well. He had six targets, only allowed three receptions on those six targets. He had a forced incompletion and another play where we registered him with a dropped interception. So, yeah, he was active. He was present. I mean, he fits that Pittsburgh system. He's a big-bodied guy who can get in a face a receiver's face and kind of cause, you know, havoc, you know, at the catch point. And he looked good. I think he could be, you know, playing a bit more as the season goes on.
Brad Spielberger joining us. Are we headed for this Brady Belichick barf bowl in the Super Bowl? Like, is this happening? It feels like it right now.
It really is starting to feel like it. I mean, if New England gets home field advantage and, you know, can dominate in the trenches like they did last night against Buffalo, they're going to have a pretty clear path to the Super Bowl. And the Bucs as well in the NFC. I think the NFC is basically three teams right now with Arizona, Tampa Bay, and Green Bay. And so if they can, you know, make their way through, I really do think it is a decent possibility, which I know other people would barf at. I personally would absolutely love it.
Oh, we'd love the 2 weeks. The 2 week lead up would be amazing. It would just be amazing. And if AB can come back from suspension and they allow him on their team, he could screw something up. So that's a good storyline.
There you go. A lot of good storylines. Yeah. Yes, no, for sure. No, I know it would kill a lot of people to have to watch that, but I think it would be, you know, I think Belichick deserves this run right now, because everyone last year was saying, oh, it was all Tom Brady in New England, and Belichick is just, you know, an average coach, which I thought was the stupidest take in the history of sports, so I'm happy for him.
Well, are they the best team right now, in your opinion?
I mean, they're the most complete team, that they're healthy, but really they want to play – the football they played last night in windy, 35-degree wind weather is what they're built for. I mean, it's funny they threw the ball three times, but it's also not surprising at all, and so – you know, heading into the playoffs where that type of football is more prevalent, they are, you know, if you want to pick them to win the AFC, I think it is a smart bet.
You know, you mentioned just a few teams that are the quote-unquote good teams in the NFC. There's a whole bunch of other teams that are there in the middle. I guess it's like that in the AFC too. But are these like decent teams that lose to the better teams that are kind of beating up on each other? Or is it some good teams and a whole bunch of crappy teams in the NFC?
Yeah, you know, I'm not really sold on that next tier being truly good teams that, you know, can beat other good teams. Like, you know, it's like Dallas and the Rams and some of those teams that, yeah, they kind of beat up on the bad teams, and their offenses can go off against these bad defenses, but they go up against a well-coached opponent and they just kind of fall apart. So I'm not a believer there. You know, I don't believe in Washington or Philly or kind of any of the other fringe teams. The NFC West, the Niners, you know, are not real. I wonder if they start playing Trey Lance at some point. I don't go to the whole list. But, yeah, I do think those three teams, Tampa, Arizona, and Green Bay, are a decent bit ahead of the rest of the group.
Yeah, talk to you later. Thank you much. Good stuff. Good stuff, Brad. Really great stuff today. Enlightened our guest, as always, here are our listeners in Western Pennsylvania, and we absolutely appreciate it.
Have a good one.
You're the best. Brad. He is just so, so good. We love it. Man. Full of stuff, Jim. Just full of stuff. Good stuff from Brad.
No, you can throw stuff at these guys and boom, 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 boom,
boom.
He is
so quick on his feet, man. I love talking to him. He's such a great radio guy.
What's interesting is, and I asked him the question about Kirk Cousins, because, like I said, you can watch Kirk Cousins one series to the next.
Yep.
And you don't know what you're going to get. He's actually their second highest rated quarterback this year so far, behind only Brady. And that's an interesting theory, that for the final year of his contract, maybe the Steelers would be looking to bring him in. He's a high-priced stopgap, but as a stopgap, while maybe you develop a young drafted quarterback behind him, I don't know.
Mariota. That's still my guy. Marcus Mariota. We got to find that. Remember the commissioner? Marcus Mariota.
I mean, it's nothing like what he did to Tagovailoa.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, gosh. All right. There are a couple people on Twitter that lost their mind last night about the brilliance that was that outdoor football game. We'll get into that before the hour's out. Also, Shelby joins. Hi, Jim. How you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Nice hoodie. You guys... we like it. Top Golf hoodie today?
Absolutely.
How much you pay for that one?
I believe it was
There you are. Yeah. Jim making the rounds.
DiNardo's grandson.
Yes, yeah. You're right about that. And now we have... wait.
Marcus Mariota.
There we go. And at the top of the hour, 9 o'clock, you know what? Basketball kicks off in Western Pennsylvania tonight. We talked to a couple coaches because we're running a big package on the AM, carrying a bunch of games this year. So we get into that briefly in the 9 o'clock hour. But up next, ask you about the face of a franchise. That's a question, too. Jim, if I told you, if you invited me over to your house, I came over to your house, and I told you, as we stood around your tree, show me your favorite Christmas ornament. What one would it be?
I'll have to go down to the basement and get it because the tree's up. No ornaments, of course.
Like a bare tree right now?
Yeah. So
backwards. You don't do that all at once?
No. Remember, we went through this.
Oh, you were off when he explained this.
Oh, were you? You weren't?
Yeah,
he was. Yes.
I would remember this.
Yeah. We haven't put the lights on quite yet, but we'll put the lights on, but then we won't put the ornaments on until Christmas Eve when the kids come over.
All right. Well, I can understand that. Okay. But what's your favorite one?
Man, I don't we have bungee Santas. Those are pretty cool.
Okay.
We have all like the UNH and all the teams and all that stuff.
Yeah.
There's like a dunking Santa Claus. I do like that. I also have a hoop. I think my favorite one is the basketball hoop that has the hoop with a basketball that had just gone through it with the net and everything. I like that one.
That's my favorite. You know that there are some old timey people that'll tell you. I don't know if anybody else had this tradition, but I've heard this. I think I may have heard this from my grandmother at one point. That back in the day, and this may be just something they did,
mm-hmm.
like some people, the tree and the presents would just all come on Christmas morning. Like there would be no tree for the whole season, whatever, and the kids would wake up on Christmas morning and the tree.
There'd be a tree and the presents.
I think I've heard of that.
Is that something that is indigenous to a certain religion or a certain ethnicity or something?
I think that's just super, super old school.
Somebody told me about that a couple days ago. I'm trying to remember who it was.
Like, there are people, and my late grandmother, I believe it was her. She's like, yeah, when we would wake up, the tree and the presents would be there that morning.
Huh.
And I was like, what about December 24th? No tree. What about the 22nd?
Yeah.
No tree. And we're like, yep, it was there on the 25th, the tree and the presents all at once. But I never followed up and said, like, well, then how long would it sit there? Was it, they do all that for just one day?
Well, Epiphany, right? It's usually like the 6th or whatever. Somewhere around there, first week of January, you're supposed to take it down by
Little
then.
Christmas.
Well, is that technically the 12 days? Do the 12 days of Christmas begin on Christmas, or do they end on Christmas, or do they bridge Christmas?
Jim.
I don't know.
They start whenever you want them to start.
Text in, though, about that thing, if anybody's heard of that, where your tree and your presents appear on Christmas morning. That's a hell of a thing.
We used to not put presents under the tree until Christmas morning.
It's much different than a tree showing
But
up.
We would have the tree. You know,
right.
So you wouldn't have
a little bit of work.
You wouldn't have any presents done.
No. Okay. And then, well, like my cousin
Jim's
Dave.
So foggy with things like this. Go ahead, continue.
No, but Dave would send us, like Dave's gifts would arrive. And then I think when, like, or my sister would
You'd
send
put those
gifts,
under the tree.
I think we put those under the tree.
Okay,
but the ones that we got for ourselves, we didn't put those underneath until Christmas morning.
What does Jim's stocking look like? Does it say Jim on it?
I can't remember. I think it says dad.
It does, yeah.
Right. It's mom, dad. Chris,
hung by
dad.
The chimney with care right now, or no?
We don't have a chimney. That's what we need is a chimney. Remember a chimney?
Chimney?
Didn't you call it a chimney?
No, continue.
I think I remember saying chimney when I was a kid.
What's a chimney?
A chimney.
Oh. Maybe you needed speech therapy.
I did, yes.
Oh, okay.
It still
I'm not making fun
in.
Of you for it. I'm just saying, maybe you just mispronounced chimney.
I did. I mean, that's like one of those.
It's a bar in State College called Chumley's, but I don't think that's your speed.
Chumley.
No. Is there a Chumley at Chumley?
I have no idea. I don't frequent Chumley's. It's
right down Santa Claus Lane.
Like I said, not my speed.
Chimley.
Chimley.
You used to say Chimley?
Yes. Pretty sure.
Teach his own.
I never did say library, though. I did say library all the time.
You did? What other word did you commonly mispronounce, and how did you mispronounce it?
Probably dog. I don't know.
Dog?
How do you mispronounce dog?
I'm not sure, but I'm sure I did.
No. See, it's gone off the rails. Chimley, though.
Chimley.
Did you sing it wrong in the Christmas carols?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't remember. Probably.
This is too much.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ton of texts from people. When I was little, this happened at my house. My aunt and uncle, they did this. It's a German thing. That's the way that it works. Santa would bring the tree and the presents. Nothing till the 25th. It was amazing. Jeez. I think mostly because my mom was a single working parent and didn't have the time. But also, a lot of text here. My mom, 79, grew up where Santa brought the tree. So my pap had to put it up with full train set after the kids went to bed Christmas Eve.
That's wild.
And there must be 30 texts saying this. Mm. Wow. Wow.
He brought the tree, too?
Yep, right down.
My goodness.
Right down the what, Jim?
The chimney.
There we are. Mac Jones. Listen to Mac Jones talk about that game last night, 14-10. Patriots win in just what a windstorm.
I mean, I'm just trying to win, so it was good that we scored more than the other team, and we did a great job on offense. Josh just staying calm and just calling the plays that he knew that would work, and it took all 11 guys, and, you know, it doesn't matter how many times you run it or throw it. As long as you win, everyone's going to be happy.
There we are from the Belichick School of Public Relations there dealing with the media. Now, he was 2 for 3 for 19 yards. He sounds like a service academy quarterback, right?
Not even.
I know. It's just crazy.
Like a high school freshman getting an emergency start.
So he handed it off 46 times for 222 yards they ran for. Now, there are some bozos. They're acting like bozos. I don't want to call them bozos. You hear Jay Berman every once in a while do updates on the National. He says, domes everywhere. This is silly. It's dumb. It's inexplicable that they're playing in this. Steven Ruiz, he writes for The Ringer. He says, it changes outcomes too much to play a game in conditions like this. You know, football is meant to have a pliable game plan. And weather and conditions are one of those factors that lends to your pliability. You need to be ready to change things. Mm-hmm. I thoroughly enjoy games when it's 72 degrees and sunny and wonderful. I like it when there's a blizzard. I like it when the autumnal weather moves in and it's maybe 15 degrees, a little bit of wind, and 48 degrees and nice. Like, I like it in all conditions. Are these bozos really serious that they think that it affects the game so much and you shouldn't play it?
The last thing I want is the game even more rapidly approaching basketball on grass. Now, look, it's
controlled.
Fun. Like. It's fun to watch them. Like, Steelers-Chargers was an entertaining football game to watch, right? When there's a ton of points scored, and that's the way the NFL has trended for the last 40 years, when there's more points scored, yes, I get it. It's more entertaining to maybe the non-invested viewer. Someone who wasn't a Bills or Patriots fan last night, you're like, wow, look at this. Okay, they can't throw when they go that direction in the second quarter because the wind's too crazy. They can't kick a field goal or whatever it may be. That's, to me, more interesting, more fun to watch. That getting that every once in a while. The only time I don't like the elements playing a part is when it's because of the field surface, like we've seen at Heinz so many times in the past, when the grass would get chewed up or turned into a swamp that one night against the Dolphins. That, I think, because that creates a real danger to the players, right? And creates a game that really is nowhere near what football is supposed to be. This is football at its purest sense. Well, this is before the forward pass was invented.
Jim, I enjoy all of it in the expectation that there is no expectation and you need to prepare for any element. For me, I don't like one more than the other. Excuse me. A snow game is fun. A regular game where there's nice weather is fun too. I like the fact that there's no controlled environment and it's one of those variables that you have to deal with.
Well, otherwise, it would be, and I know the teams are different and some offenses are better defense and so forth, but it's like you don't want the same thing all the time. I think it's great to get different things. And, you know, and maybe this is one of those things like it doesn't happen as much as you think, but, you know, some of the more memorable games that you talk about are games that are played in not ideal conditions because stuff happens. You know, what was last night's game boring? Maybe. I remember Bill Cowher used to get mad when people would call it a defensive struggle.
Mm-hmm.
He used to get really upset about that. He goes, wait a minute. He goes, why does that have to be a struggle when two defenses are playing really well? and it's a defensive struggle. He goes, no, he goes, because, you know, he was a defensive guy, obviously. I can see it. I know, you know, the weather sometimes can be cruel, like we saw with the Pitt-North Carolina game, where Pitt, and all of a sudden North Carolina gets the ball in overtime, and it just goes completely the other way.
All of a sudden, they can't complete a pass because they're playing in a driving downpour.
But it's never different for one team than the other. You're going to go that way a couple times. You're going to go that way a couple times. If the wind's blowing that way, it's at your back two times. It's at you're going into it two times. It's not as if one team needs to deal with it any different than the other team.
This loops back on those that want to just take it way too seriously. Like, all due respect to Jay Berman, who you mentioned, who I'll just read his tweet. He retweeted the Sports Hub, a station up in Boston, put out a video of the wind and how it was rocking the goalposts back and forth, and the flags are just starched straight out, whipping in the wind. And he said, this isn't fun or funny. It inexplicably impacts the outcome. How are you okay with that? End the charade and build 32 domes, please. Stop. Well, this isn't Madden.
They're not roofers.
On a soundstage.
It's, OSHA isn't there.
Right. They're going to be okay.
I know.
Again, as long as it's not as they are not field conditions that could adversely affect the players getting hurt, the health of the players, then I'm okay with it because, again, it got called into practice last night. Are you going to do whatever it takes to win? Within the rules, usually, but Belichick was involved,
well,
so who knows how much took place outside
too,
the rules.
Right?
Right. You have to go into the game saying, well, look, if we get there and the wind's blowing 35 miles an hour, we'll just run it the whole time. Let's build in some traps. Let's build in this. Let's be prepared to do that if we have to. And then they were prepared to do it because they had to, and they won, and everybody's mad because Mac Jones only threw the ball three times.
You actually see the Patriots prepare for an opponent, and you actually see the Patriots have a game plan that's good, more so than we just do our thing and everything else is blocked out.
Right.
You have a look, the guy's a cheater as long as the day is, but in this instance, he's brilliant in that he can think on the fly and change week to week. I mean, he is. It's not this stubborn, we just do our thing and we worry about ourselves. He catered to what was going on.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is a
That's
sign.
That's what a coach is supposed to do.
I agree. Shelby Cassese, this hits different. That's next. We talked to her in studio. Shelby Cassese, she joins. Yeah. Hi, Shelby. How you doing?
Hi, good. How are you?
Great.
Morning, Shelby.
This hits different. You've been to Jeanette before, and I see you're making a return trip to Jeanette. This one a little bit different, though. This story, what do you got going on?
Well, even though football season's over, we're still getting a lot of great stories about what had occurred over the football season. And last year, Jeanette won a WPIAL title. They were in the PIAA final and came in second. But by the time the summer rolled around, they didn't have enough kids to field a team. It was a crazy amount of transfers and people just deciding not to play. So we had a couple of unlikely heroes step in, and they helped to save Jeanette's season.
Jeanette football, let's hear it.
Sharing the stories of remarkable young people in Western Pennsylvania, this is This Hits Different on 93.7 The Fan.
In the fall of 2020, Jeanette football was doing what it's known for, winning. They finished the season with a WPIAL title and an appearance in the PIAA championship game. But by the time summer workouts rolled around, that team was in tatters.
It was a little frustrating in the beginning.
Athletic director Adrian Batts had just started the job. Between transfers and kids deciding not to play, it looked like the school may not have enough players for a football team until some unlikely heroes stepped in.
Four band kids on the football field, nothing about the game.
Four members of the school band decided Jeanette just wasn't the same without a football season.
Kids left the program for whatever reason they did, but they stepped right in and people just accepted them and treated them like they were always there for 4 years.
Tamarion Stevens-Blow, Nathaniel Gant, Nate Kristoff, and Nate Moore, all seniors, decided to put on the pads despite never playing football before. Kristoff says they were willing to work through the growing pains and the physical pain to make sure their community had one of its most beloved pastimes.
Jeanette, like, we're all like family and everything. And I thought, you know, it'd benefit the whole community if we helped in. And, you know, since football is a big tradition in Jeanette, I thought it'd be nice to you know, help him out this year.
But that didn't mean Ban took a back seat. Each of them did both at the same time. And on a Zoom call last week, they were pretty honest about what that schedule, all while learning a new sport, was like.
It was like physically demanding, you know.
Like some days we, you know, had football practice, and right after we had band practice.
Band practices and shows that Stevens Blow said didn't exactly feel like a break from the physical and mental demands of football.
The band part wasn't easy. We still had to do a lot during the band shows.
And on Friday nights this fall, halftime didn't mean a break. When the rest of the football team would head into the locker room, the four boys would play in the band for the halftime show. Gant explains the process.
Hurry up, get our pads off, and hurry up, get our like drums on and carriers. And once that was done, we had to hurry up, take that off, and go back in the locker room.
Overwhelming at times, tiring often, but worth it? Moore says all you had to do was look at the stands during a game.
I think it like shows how like strong this community really is, though, by like sticking together and like really supporting us through like the whole process. And even though our team wasn't as good this year, but like they still came out and watched and support us.
And even though juggling band, a sport, and academics at the same time might not be something the four are exactly itching to do again soon, Bat says the personal growth he's witnessed is evident.
They were really quiet guys before this. Now they're not clear, like folk heroes now. So football brings a little different out of you, you know, sports does in general, not just, so I mean, they're you see the maturity and them enjoying it in high school. So, you know, that's one of the great things to do.
Shelby, great, great stuff. Finding another story. You know, your stories seem to have a common theme, whereas not all of them, but a lot of them, people coming and stepping up whenever it feels like they're really dire times.
Yeah, just a lot of people being selfless, wanting to help their community. I mean, truly, these four boys just said, we know it's important here. It's important to us as band members to have a football season. It's important to the community. So, yeah, let's do it. Let's play football for the first time ever. I asked, I said, did any of you ever play before? And the one said, well, I did for 2 days in elementary school, and then I quit. And that was it. That was the only experience any of them had, and they wanted to play to keep the season going.
And then to stay committed to the band to the extent that they're playing, ripping their stuff off, playing during halftime, and then it's not like they're playing the flute. They're putting on drum kits and then marching around and then right back, pads right back on and right back on the field.
And, you know, as seniors, they all said, you know, we are also seen as leaders in the band as well. Like, this was our senior year in the band, the, you know, the activity we've been committed to this whole time, and you know, if we didn't show up and be leaders, the younger kids wouldn't be in the right shape to play either.
Right.
So it was important to be just as committed, if not more, to the band as they were to football.
Well, if there's no football game,
there's no band.
Then, I mean, the band would have other duties, obviously.
But they
pretty much not saved the band season as well, but I think it served a dual purpose.
There you go.
Absolutely.
There you go. All right. Now, you said something that just has me... I'm trying to dive into the psychology of Shelby Cassesi. And by the way, great story. So you came in, you have this puffer jacket on right now, right? Is that what they're called? Right?
Yeah, my puffy coat.
You have your puffy coat on. You're in a regular studio. This is very Zeiss-esque, okay? And that I don't know if you're cold all the time like Paul or what. And I said to you, Shelby, you have a winter jacket on in the studio. And you say, I have to get warm as I unlayer.
Yeah.
So describe this process. You come into to work every day, and like for an hour or so, you have your jacket on. Then you take that off. Then maybe your sweater a little bit later. Like, so you warm in sort of phases.
Yeah. So I cannot just take off my winter coat when I cook. It's so cold this morning.
Okay.
I can't. Like, I took my scarf off right away.
Uh-huh.
So we got started with that. And now I have my puffy coat on. And I'll keep that on for probably an hour until I take it off.
So it's like this is fascinating.
I'm constantly cold in here. I'm like one of those women that is always cold, right? And
I'm not gonna back down from what you're saying there. I constantly argue with my wife about the temperature.
I'm constantly raising the thermostat in my house.
Fire roaring in the living room. She's got three blankets, and I'm in like I gotta be in like a cutoff t-shirt and gym shorts because it's 80 degrees.
There will be nights, I do not kid you, I'm in like flannel pants, a thick sweatshirt, fuzzy socks, and I have my comforter and I bring out the heated blanket.
Oh my God.
You gotta turn up the heated blanket, and I just lay there in like my nighttime coffin of heat.
Do you have a weighted blanket? Those are big.
I don't, you know,
Tell me about these. I've seen these are, do you know about
them? I want one. They're supposed to reduce anxiety and stress, and it's just a weighted blanket that you're supposed to lay under, and the pressure is supposed to reduce stress.
Our son has one and loves it, but we got one for our bed, and all it did was, like, when you go to, like, roll over in the middle of the night and you got to, like, pull the covers with you a little bit, the weighted blanket
just...
You're literally, like, pulling against... And then everything, the covers and sheets all get messed up, and it's a disaster. So we ended up getting rid of it.
I do have a weighted eye mask that I got for free in one of those subscription boxes. Do you like it? I don't like it.
I'm kidding. I have a weighted eye mask. Wait, tell me about this weighted eye mask.
It's just supposed to be a similar thought, but a weighted eye mask. I can't use it. It's a weight on your face the whole night. It doesn't work.
Yeah, who wants that? I thought you meant like a weighted eye, like a beauty mask, like while you're...
You know, one of those, people have those eye masks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mask, yeah.
Yeah, or,
depuff.
You know, if you sleep during the day.
Like
you guys,
certainly.
If you...
I don't know.
Jim has a lot of thoughts, I think.
I learned so much from these these segments. I will say, however, as the elderly member of this crew...
By a little bit, yeah.
There is a thing several years down the road, many years down the road, called hot flashes.
This is going bad now, Shelby.
No, I'm just saying that it's going to go the other way.
Oh,
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll mean I'll be close to retirement at least, so I can look forward to
Jim
that.
Jim steps in and just brings reality every once in a while.
A hot dose of reality. Yes,
right. Wise old sage is here to impart just a few tips for you.
Saying, we thought they were supposed to go away.
Do you feel...
Haven't yet.
By the way, your anxiety has gone away and your stress because you've been done Christmas shopping for like 3 months now.
Yeah.
I envy you.
Black Friday. Get it all done. I have a game plan. I execute. I'm done.
You're ridiculous. You are ridiculous. You're an unbelievable wife.
It's sort of like my Super Bowl.
Black Friday is sort of like your Super Bowl.
Yeah,
but don't you feel
like
you
should
get
a shirt like
stuff?
That when you go shopping?
One of
you
those know, people?
Yes. Like or on a wine glass. Black Friday is my Super Bowl. That would
there
be very Instagram.
Very
copyright
Instagram.
That. Yeah, copyright that. But don't you feel like you go out and get a bunch of gifts early, like, oh, man, there's still 3 weeks left here. I got to buy some more stuff.
No.
That's the way
I
feel about that.
I got a game plan. I have a list on my phone. If I think of an idea during the year, it goes on my list. And then, see, my husband's birthday is 3 days before Christmas.
Oh.
So,
you got to be prepared.
I got the double whammy. It's the only time of the year I have to buy him a gift. So I get my list ready, and then I divide the gifts up based on when I want to give them to him. It's a whole process.
You're great.
All over.
You're flawless. Shelby, flawless. There you go. It's the weighted eye mask.
Yeah.
go back to the desk now with a hoodie and three coats
on. Like Zeiss. Well, thank you so much. Great story. We'll talk again next week.
Next week.
I heard you on the Saturday show, and you said you've got a lot of great feedback of people listening stories. You're looking for some more for next year as well,
yes,
right?
Yes, always looking for stories like this.
All right, perfect.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.